to Daf Ches, the very, very top line, the Mishnah on the top there. In the middle of the Ein Bein, I think this is the third Ein Bein. We're up to the Mishnah says, Ein Bein HaModer HaNoah Mechavero, the Moder Mimenu Meichel, Eladrisas Regel VeKalim, Shein Osen VeHen Ochel Nefesh. Let's take that slow. What's going on here? Ein Bein HaModer HaNoah Mechavero. A person takes a nether that a person can't get HaNoah from me. And that means any type of HaNoah. Versus a person who says he can't get HaNoah from me with respect to Ochel only with regards to food, is it Aser? So what's the difference if I said you can't get any Hanah versus if I say you can't get Hanah related to food? So the Mishnah says the only difference is Ela Drisas Regel. When it comes to Drisas Regel, which refers to a person stepping into the property, into my Rishus, that if I say Moder Hanah overall, that would be Usur. But if I only limit your Hanah with respect to food, then Drisas Regel would be permitted. You could step into my property. That would be okay. That's one difference. And difference two is V'kelim she'ein osen ben ocha nefesh. And kelim that are not used for food, let's say a sewing machine, that's kelim, it's not used for food. So if I say you can't get hanah from me at all, you can't even use my sewing machine. But if I say you can't get hanah with respect to maichel, then you would be able to use my sewing machine. So those are two nafka minas the Mishnah mentions. So the Gemara says, ha, l'inyan kelim she'osen ben ocha nefesh. The implication is with respect to kalim that are used for food preparation, such as pots and pans, of course, zev zeh shavin, they're both equal. If I say you can't get hana, whichever way I say it, it's going to be also to use my pots. Then Gemara says, drisas regel, that if I say you can't get hana from me at all, you cannot step into my property, as opposed to if I said you can't get hana with respect to food, you may step into my property. The Gemara says, holo kapti inchi. People don't really care what's the big deal? If you go through my property, you're cutting through my backyard to get to shul, well, that's not hanah, that's not hakpada on my part. I don't really care if you step into my property, if you trespass to have a shortcut to shul. So what's the hanah there? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Viter Aser B'mode Hanah. So what's he talking about here? There's a discussion, it's a Mishnah based in Nidarim. So Rashi explains here, Rashi says, Vitur, davar shehaya mevatel chal adam veinu makbid alav. So even though I'm mevatel, I let everybody trespass to my property, I don't really care if they take the shortcut, still nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that even though I'm mevatel to the entire world, if I said to a person in particular, you cannot get enough from me, then for you it would be usur. Yes, generally speaking, it's mutter, I don't really care, I'm mochel and everybody's taking my property, but still he thinks when it comes to the world of Anah, the world of Nadarm, still nonetheless it would be usur to trespass to my property. Okay, the next mission. The Mishnah says, Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos. I think we mentioned this the other day. What's the difference between a neder versus a nedava? Elasha nedarim chai b'achriyusun. V'nedavos ein chai b'achriyusun. That if I take upon myself a neder, I think the Gemara explains what a neder is. If I say, Harei Allah, it's upon me. So then I lose the animal. I set aside an animal to fulfill my nether. I lose the animal. I'm chai b'achriyusun. I'm chai to pay back to make sure I get another animal to fulfill my nether. As opposed to a nedava, which is not a something I take upon myself, but it's on an object, that this animal is a nedava. If this animal gets lost, I have no chiv b'achriyusun, and I'm permitted, I don't have to follow through to get a replacement. So the Gemara says, Hol inyan bal tacher zev zeh shavin. But with respect to Issa deraisa bal tacher, they're both equal. What does it mean, bal tacher? So Rashi explains to us, it's based on the Gemara's in Rosh Hashanah, and Issa deraisa. If I take upon myself to bring a karban, a neder, a nedava, it could be tzedakah. The Gemara Rashi has a whole list of like 15 different things that are subject to the halachas of bal tacher. If I pass, there's a big machlokas when bal tacher also kicks in. So again, there's a list of what applies, bal tacher applies to, which objects. And then when does bal tacher kick in? What it means is if I'm delayed, if I bring my neder or nedava late, I violate an iser deraisa bal tacher. What's that cutoff point? So one opinion thinks it could be one yontif. Another opinion thinks it's two yamin tovim. Another yontif thinks it's three yamin tovim. Another opinion thinks it's four yamin tovim in the right order. The other one thinks that Pesach has to be the first one. There are like eight different shitas in the Gemara. But whatever shita you paskin like, which I think we paskin that's three regalim in any order, I think that's how we paskin. So if I have a neder I took upon myself, and three regalim pass, and I don't bring the neder or nedava, I violate the iser of deraisa bal tacher. So the Gemara says, whether I took upon myself a neder or nedava, they're both subject to the same halachas of bal tacher. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah that's found in Meseches Kinim, says, Ezehu neder, what's considered a neder? Ha'omer harei alai ola. I say, it's upon me, I have an obligation on myself to bring an ola. And Ezu Nedava, Haomer Harezu Ola, that this object, this animal is a Nedava. So the Neder is on the Gavra, and the Nedava is on the Chefsa. Uma Bein Nedarim LeNedava. So the Mishnah says, what's the difference? Nedarim Mesu or Nignivu, if the animal dies or gets lost or stolen, all of do it's stolen or lost. Chay Bachriusen, I'm a chayiv to replace the animal to ensure I fulfill my Neder, because as a Gavra, I have an obligation to make sure an animal is brought. Not this animal, any animal has to be brought to fulfill my chayiv. As opposed to nedavos, that this animal is a nedava, mesu, if the animal dies, o nignivu, or gets stolen, o avdu, or gets lost, eino chayiv b'achrisan, I'm not chayiv to replace the nedava. So that's the difference. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mila, how do I know this to be true? How do I know what to be true? So let's see what the Gemara says. The Tana Rabbanan, Nir Tzalal, the Pasuk says, Nir Tzalal l'chaper alav. The Pasuk that appears in the first parak of Vayikra, it says, V'nir Tzalal l'chaper alav. So what's pshat here? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Es she'olav chai b'achriso. If something is alav on him upon the Gavra, then there is a chiv to make sure to ensure that it's fulfilled. But if it is not Allah, because again the Pasuk says Venir Talaw Lachaper Allah on him, but if it's Ainu Allah, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon explained, if it's not upon him, then he's not Chayv Bachriso, he's not Chayv to make sure if this object gets lost, I don't have to ensure the carbon's brought. My mashma. How is this indicated in the Pasuk Alav? How do you know? The Pasuk is Alav. How do you know when it's Alav? It's upon the Gavra. I have an Chai Achiv B'achriyusu. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi came and Amr Alai, Kiman Dita Na Kasve Dami. Once I say a Neder is Alai, it's upon me. It's as if I'm placing a weight, a burden, Ta'in, a Kasve Dami. I have a burden upon my shoulders. And that burden is not relieved until I fulfill my Neder. That's Pshat. Alav means it's Mamish on him. I have a Chiv staying on my neck, on my shoulders. It's always there until I fulfill my Chiv. That's what we learn from the Pasuk. A Neder Alai is Chai Bach Yusu. A Nedava, which is on the chefta, is not chayv b'achriyusu. Next, Mishnah tells us, Ein bein zav ha-roah shed is rios, l'roah shalosh el-karbam. The only difference versus there's a man who's a zav, a woman who's a zava. So a man is a zav, he sees something he shouldn't be seeing, it's certainly a mission. So if he sees it two times, shed rios, and versus seeing it three times, he's going to be the same halachas of tumah. The one difference is a person, a zav, who sees three rios is chayv to bring a karbon. One who sees only shtei rios is not chayv to bring a karbon. That's the one difference is the karbon. Two rios versus three rios. So the Gemara makes a diak now, halin in mishkav v'moshav u'sfiras shiva zev zev shavim. When it comes to halachas of mishkav v'moshav, if this zav sits on his chair, or he lies down, mishkav, he lies down on a bed, the halacha is that everything below him is tameh. Let's look at that Rashi there. Rashi says, mishkav u'moshav, shachav o yashav, he lies down or sits al gavi asara begadim. He has 10 sheets, 10 blankets, 10 mattresses, one upon the next. Zeh al gav zeh. Kulan avos tuma. They all have a din of avos tuma. So let's backtrack for a second. Avos tuma. The first daf of Baba Kama talks about avos and todos. Avos and todos we have when it comes to avos nezikin. We have avos todos malachos on Shabbos. We also have avos and todos when it comes to the dinim of tuma. Avos is the primary tuma, and anything below that is a rishon and a sheni and so on and so forth. So the halacha is, if you have something that's an avatuma, so let's say a mace, an actual dead body is an avatuma. So an avatuma has the ability to be metame four things. Maichel u'mishta, food and water, and also a person and begadim, and clothing and kalim. Those four things. Again, food, drink, people, and kalim. That's avatuma. You drop down, now let's say mace is not such a good example. Let's say a sheretz. A sheretz is a certain type of insect, which is tameh. So the sheretz itself is avatuma. Anything that the avatuma comes into contact with, whether it be food, liquid, person, or kalim, it's metameh that. But now let's say it touches something else that's tameh. Now that next object becomes a rishon latuma. So let's say the clothing, it touches my shirt. My shirt is now a rishon. It's dropped down a level. This rishon latuma can only be metame food and liquid, but it cannot be metame people and kalim anymore. Food and liquid, just to understand, as we know, food and liquid gets dirtier much easier than a person gets dirty. If something falls on the floor, food or liquid, less likely that I'll eat it, as opposed to if a shirt falls on the floor, I'll be willing to wear that shirt. Ramban al Torah tries to compare the dinim of tumah to the dinim of things that get dirty. So since food and liquid get dirty very easily, so even on, from a Rishon Latumah could contaminate food and water and liquid. So when it comes to the halachas, if a Zav sits on top of 10 begadim, one on top of the next, all those begadim, all those mattresses are all avatuma, which means since they're avatuma, if a person touches it, if kalim touch it, if food or water touch it, they're all going to become tummy. And the Rashi says, even if he's not touching it, he's on top of the 10 mattresses, he's not touching the one that's on the bottom, still that tumma of the Zav goes all the way down to all 10 mattresses and beyond to make it tummy. Okay. Rashi says all that. Okay, great. So when it comes to, again, the Zav who saw two times versus the Zav who saw three times, they both have the ability to make Mishkav Moshev all Avos Atuma. And also they have a requirement of Shvias Shiva. They need to count 7 days of clean days. The men have to count seven clean days until they stop seeing this Ziva, and then they're going to become Tahor. The only difference is at the end, if the Zav only saw two times, he's the day's over, he goes to the mikvah, and that's it. But the Zav who saw three times needs to bring a karban after the Shivanakim. So Gemara wants to know now, Menohani Mila, how do I know this to be true? That the Tanya Rabban, the Braisa says, Rabbi Simai Omer, Monah Kas of Shayim Vikarotame. The Pasuk says, refers to a Zav who saw two times, and it calls him a Tame. And then the Pasuk says, Shalosh, a person who saw three times, Vikarotame, calls him Tame also. So if the guy who Zav who saw two times is Tame, then certainly if he saw three times, he's also going to become Tame. What's the difference of two versus three Rios? Haketad, what's the difference? It must therefore be Shtayim L'Tumah. The guy who sees two times is already Tumah. He's Tame until he has Shivanakim. But Shalosh, the guy who sees three times, he must be a higher level, which he has to bring a Karpam. That's the drush that the Gemara makes. Because why else would you separate between two and three Rios? Just say two Rios and don't talk about a guy who sees three times. There must be some difference. So again, the difference the Gemara suggests at this stage is the guy who sees three times must have to bring a carbon. Gemara says it doesn't say that anywhere in the Pesukim. The Amar, the Ema maybe, Ema Shtayim L'Tumah V'Lola Karban. Maybe you should say when the guy sees two times, he's Tameh, but doesn't have to bring the carbon. But if he sees Shalosh, if he sees three times, maybe he has to bring a carbon, V'Lola Tumah, but he's no longer Tameh anymore. Which is a very strange habit, meaning the Gemara quickly rejects. Again, the guy sees two times, he's Tameh, and then third time, he's no longer Tameh, but he brings a carbon. Where'd the Tumah go? So the Gemara says, how could that be? That can't be possible. Why not? Because, where'd that line go? So the Gemara says, Amr's Ajla Ra Shalosh Ra Shayim. Until he sees three times, he already saw two times. So once he saw two times, he's Tameh. It can't be that he sees a third time and it now becomes Tahor. So that gets quickly rejected. So the Gemara says, maybe Ve'emar Shtayim L'Karban V'Lola Tumah. Maybe after he sees two times, he brings a carbon, but he's not Tameh. But then when he sees the Shalosh, he sees the third time, maybe he'll be Afla Tumah, he'll also be Tameh now. So again, after seeing two times, he's Chayv a carbon, but no Tumah yet. It's not until the third time that he's Tameh. So the Tameh here in this suggestion, the Tumah comes after the carbon. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadaitach, you can't think of such a possibility. The Tanya, because the Braisa tells us, V'chiper alav ha-kohen lefnei Hashem, mizavo. The Kohen is going to be mechaper mizavo. Mizavo means from the zuva, the ziva, the zov, miktas zavim mevi'in karbon, u'miktas zavim ein mevi'in karbon. Mizavo means from the zav, from some of them, only some of the zavim bring, not all the zavim. So if you're telling me that the guy who sees two times bring a karbon, and the guy who sees three times also brings a karbon, that's all zavos. All zavos are bringing tumah, or bring karbon rather. So the fact we see mizavo, only some of them, there must be some split. So which zavim bring, which zavim don't bring? Haketed, it must be ra shalosh. If you see three times, that's when you're mevi a karbon. If you only see shtayim, if you only see two times, and then lachis eino mevi, you don't bring a karbon. So that's the raya that two times doesn't bring a karbon, three times does. Gemara says, what do you mean? Oh, eino ela ra shtayim mevi ra shalosh eino mevi. Maybe it should be that after the guy sees two times, he brings a karbon. But after he sees three times, he doesn't bring a karbon anymore. Maybe that should be how we read mizovo. Gemara says, amris achila ra shalosh ra shtayim. What do you mean? Before he sees three, he sees two already. So it can't be possible to read it that way. So once you're bringing, therefore, the only split possible is that if you see three, you bring a carbon. Gemara now says, wait a second, we have two psukim before. Yitzrich the Rebbe Simai, Vitzrich Mizavol. We have two different psukim that prove to us that you bring a carbon at seeing three times. Which ones? Rav Simai above said, from the fact that the pasuk says Shtaim and calls them Tamim, and sees it talks about a guy who sees three times and calls him Tamim, there must be a difference between two and three. What's the difference to carbon? That's one pasuk. The second pasuk is Mizavol, only some Zavim bring, others Zavim don't. So we have two different psukim teaching us the same halacha. Why do you need two psukim? So the Gemara says, "Dimi the Rebbe Simai had you only had Rebbe Simai who said that the fact that the pasuk has two is tamei and three is tamei. That's two different halachas. Havamina, I would have thought kikushan like our very question. One of the questions we had, maybe it means the guy brings a carbon at two times, but it's not tamei, and the third time he's tamei. So one of those questions, maybe you weren't sure what the split was. Kamashma mizavo from zavo we learned the distinction is that the only the three time guy brings a carbon, but not the two time guy." Viz mizovo, if you had the pasuk mizovo, lo yadonna kamarios, if you had the pasuk mizovo, that only some zavim bring carbonos, but not all zavim, well, where do you draw the line? It could be a guy who sees four times versus five times, or eight versus nine. How do you know to draw the line between two and three? Kamashmam, dirapsimai, rapsimai, is medai from the pasukim, that one pasuk talks about a guy who sees two times, and another pasuk talks about a guy who sees three times. So you put the two pasukim together, we have everything. That a guy, a zav, who sees two times is tame, a zav who sees three times is tame, and also brings a carbon. Gemara now asks, "V'hasha now da'amris mizavo l'drasha." So now the fact that we can make a drasha from the word mizavo, there's another pasuk that has the word mizavo. What's the drasha there? So this pasuk says, "V'chi yitar hazav mizavo," when the zav becomes tahar from his zovo, from his ziva. So my darshas bay, what's the drasha of the word mizavo in this very pasuk? So the Gemara says, "Hahumi barle," that drasha is needed. It's to teach us l'chedetanya, like the Braisa says. When is a zav tahor? The moment he stops seeing his ziva, he stops seeing these emissions, he's tahor. Mizavo v'lo mizavo v'nago. So let's say the guy is a zav and he's also a metzora. He has some type of tzaras on him. The tzaras is also a form of tumah. So one might think if the guy is a zav and he's also a metzora, and then the ziva, he no longer sees the ziva anymore. He's tahor from the ziva, but he's still a metzora. He's a mitzora still. Maybe you would think he's still considered tameh until he finishes the mitzora. The tzaras. Kamashvlan, the moment he stops the zovo, his ziva is completely over, even though he still has the tzaras on him. Okay. I'm looking at Rashi for a second. Sorry here. There's a decent size. Let's look at the Rashi inside. Rashi says, this is the first wire line down. He says, Mizovo v'lo mizovo u'minago, Shim haya zav u'mitzora, he's both them together, u'pasak mizovo, he stops seeing the zav, v'lo nisrape dain minago v'saper, and he's not yet healed from the teras, the nega is another word for teras, v'safar, and he starts to count the shivas hak'nikim, ein omrim, we don't say to him, ein tzvirzu nikios, ad shi'itaf minago, we don't say, it doesn't count, the 7 days don't count until you're also tar from the mitzora, we don't say that. Elamone v'holech miyad. He begins to count the moment he stops seeing the zov. V'ol alo the sphere zov, and it counts. Ulech she yisrape mitzaraso. When it could be weeks, months later, when he's tar from the tzaras, yitvol miyad tefil vishon hashem mitzara. He doesn't have to count shivan akim. V'ol alo the tefilas nigav zovo. I mean, the guy is still tame. He's still in the tzara at the time, but he counts the shivan akim from his ziva. That's behind him. He just can't go to the mikvah till his teras goes away. So the moment the teras goes away, he could go the very next day. He doesn't have to count Shiva Nakim for the ziva that he saw several weeks ago. That's what we're learning from here, that the Shiva Nakim could work as long as there's no ziva anymore, even though he might be tameh because it's teras. Okay, the Gemara says further now. Where are we now? We just said, Mizovo v'lo mizovo v'nigo. The Gemara now says, the pasuk says, there's another drasha, mizavo v'safar. The pasuk says, from some of his zov, and he counts a different drasha. What does this mean? Limed al zov bal shtei rios shetaon sviras shiva. So mizavo refers to only some of the zovim, so that there's a fact they're telling us that even though the guy's not a full-fledged zov, he only saw two times, he still has a requirement to count shiva nekim, even after seeing two times. That a zov who sees two times needs shiva nekim. So the Gemara says, "Valo dinu, isn't it a kal v'chomer that a zav who sees two times needs to count shivanakim? Why? Imitame Mishka of Moshe, we saw in the above, that a Zav of Shtei Rios, he sits on a bed or a chair, he's Metame everything to Avatama. Lo Yeh Ton Sphir Shiva? Is it not a Kavach Omer that he should also have to count Shiva Nakim? I mean, that's a serious tumma, that he can lie down on 10 beds and Metame all beds, that means it's a very serious tumma, so certainly he should have to count Shiva Nakim. So you don't need a drasha for this, it's a Kavach Omer. The Kavach Omer could replace a Pasuk. A Kavach Omer has a Din Daraisa to it. So the Gemara says, not true. Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach. It's possible to prove that there can be an instance where someone is Metame Mishkav Moshav. It's a very severe tumah, but there is no requirement of Shiva Nakim. What's that example? A woman who's Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom. A woman sees Dam when she's not supposed to be seeing. There are 11 days where she's not supposed to be seeing or more. So she sees then. So she has to, what's called Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom. She watches the next day. If she doesn't see any more dam, then she goes to the mikveh and she's tahor. If she sees it a second time, she has to wait another day. She sees it three times, she's what's called the Zava Gadola, and she has to count Shiva Nakim then. So what happens is, this woman who's a Shomer's Yom, she saw dam when she's not supposed to be seeing dam. So now the loch is, she's Metame Mishkav Moshav. If she lies down in the bed, all those mattresses are Tumas Avatuma, but she doesn't have to count Shiva Nakim. So we can think of such a case of where there is Tumas Mishkav Moshav, and so to, but there is no Shiva Nakim. So to hear, it's not a Kavachomer, just because the Zav Baal Shtei Rios is Metame Mishkav Moshav, maybe he doesn't have to count Shiva Nakim. It's not until the Pasuk says V'safar that he also has to count Shiva Nakim. So the Gemara says, I didn't finish the line, sorry. The line says on the top of Amud Beis, Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach Shemitame Mishkav Moshav V'eino Tuna Sphir Shiva. She doesn't require Shiva Nakim. So too, Ata Al Titma, don't be so bothered, Al Zeh, on this case, of the Zav of Baal Sherios, She'af Al Pi Shemitame Mishkav Moshav, even though the Zav who sees two times is Metame all those mattresses, Lo Yeton Sphir Shiva, it's not such a chiddush, it's possible to say that he is not required to count Shiva, had not been for the Pasuk. Therefore it says, Tama Lomar, Mizovo V'Safar. Mikta Zavo, even though he only sees some of the Zav, he's not a full-fledged Zav, he only saw it two times, still the Pasuk is V'Safar, teaching us, Lime, to teach us that, Al Zav Baal Shtei Rios, Shetan Sviya Shiva. Okay, good. Gemara now asks, Amar Le'i Rapapa Le'bai, Rapapa asks or says to Abai, Maishna Hai Mizavo, what's the difference that this word, Mizavo, Dimarbe Be'Zav Baal Shtei Rios, this appearance of the word Zavo, comes to include a Zav who saw two times that he's required to count Shiva Nakim. Umay Shnahai, why the previous, a different case, Mizavo, Dimimait Bezav Baal Shterius, that excludes a Zav Baal Shterius, that he's excluded. Why is sometimes Mizavo including the guy who saw two times? And the other instance, it's excluding him. What's this example of the one excluding him? Which one was that? That was the case of the carbon, right? Mizovo excludes the Zav Baal Shtei Rios from the Karban, but the other Mizovo includes the Zav Baal Shtei Rios that he is Chayv in Shiva Nakim. Is it inclusive or is it exclusive, the word Mizovo? So the Gemara says, Amar Lehi, he responds back, Abaye says to him, Isakadaitach, had you thought, Hai Lemutehu, that's coming to exclude, again, Hai Lemutehu, the Asalishtei Karabinei, the Pasuk should have been quiet. What's he saying there? So Rashi explains here. Rashi says, "Lishto kra minai behecha tesa lan sfira." So if the word mizovo is really coming to exclude, just like we said, a zav baal shterios doesn't bring a carbon, because it says mizovo, only a full-fledged zav brings a carbon, but not a zav baal shterios. If that were to be the case, so then dasa hudasa lishto kra minai, the pasuk should have been quiet. And then how are you ever going to know that he's chayv in sfira? There's no source of sfira here. V'chitem, if you're going to suggest maybe asimidina shemer's yom kineged yom, asimidina, you should apply a kalvachomer, it should be learned, look at Rashi. V'chitem, I know this is very confusing, I apologize. V'chitem, asimidina, dile'el, diktamras, we had a kalvachomer above. If the Zav Baal Shtei Rios is Metame Mishkav Moshav, isn't a kalvachomer that should certainly require Shiva Nakim, you don't need a pasuk. We already said that's not a good kavachomer, because that's rejected, because Shomer's Yom Kineged Yom Tochiach. V'chitim, if you're going to say, Hi, mi bai le mizovo, flo minigo, is coming to teach a halacha that only once he stops seeing the zov does he count shiv nekim, but he doesn't have to wait till he stops seeing the mitzvah like we said above. Imkain, if that's the case, lichtov kra, the pasuk should have said, v'chi tar zov, when the zov is tar, when he's tar from his ziva. Lishok mizovo, don't mention the word mizovo, that just gets confusing, lomali. It therefore must be limeid al zov bal shtei rios, shetan sviar shiva. In essence, we have to go through these gemaras a little bit slower. But in essence, what it's trying to tell us is that we could have learned the halacha had the pasuk not said mizavo. The word mizavo was completely unnecessary to be here. The fact that they're invoking the word mizavo must be teaching us some level of a chiddush, and that chiddush therefore must be telling us that it is inclusive in the world of shiva nikim. Okay, I know when you get to Tumah V'Tahara, it gets very, very scary. So we're not done with it yet, though. Okay, sorry. One more Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ein mitzar muskar al mitzar muchlat." What's a muskar versus a muchlat? The muskar is, we know the psukim, you remember, in the Sefer Vayikra talks about a mitzara, that a guy, Kohen comes in and sees the guy has a certain white spot. He's not sure if it has all the dinim to be considered a mitzara just yet. So he says, "I need to come back in a week." So that mitzara is called a mitzara muskar. He's waiting to see what the final decision will be. And a mitzora muchlat is who's been decisive, the decision has been made, he's definitely a mitzora. So muskar is the guy who's waiting, he's not tahor yet, but unclear the status yet, as opposed to the muchlat, it's been decided. So what's the difference? Ein bein mitzora muskar le mitzora muchlat, ele priya ufrima. Priya means he has to expose his hair, and it comes to prima, refers to ripping his begadim. So only when the guy's a muchlat does he have to expose his hair and tear his clothing. Then the Mishnah says, Ein bein tar mitoch hesker latar mitoch hechlet el taglachas vitziporim. When the guy becomes tar from hesker, which is again the in-between, the not sure status, versus when a guy becomes tar from a muchlat, where he's already been decided to be mitzara, what's the only difference? That the guy who's tar from a mitzara muchlat has to shave his hair and also bring karbanos of tziporim of birds. As opposed to the guy who's tar from the hesker only doesn't have to shave his head and doesn't have to bring birds. So Gemara's medayik now. With respect to shiluach being sent outside the city, then both types of mitzoras, whether it be musker or muchlat, have to leave the city. And regards to the tumah as well, that whatever halachas of tumah apply to mitzora apply equally to the muskar and the muchlat. So how do I know these halachas to be true? The Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Kamei de Rav Huna, he explained. The pasuk says, is found where in Parshas, let's see, Tazria Mitzora, one of them, it says, here we go, where's the pasuk here? Oh, it's Gimel. V'tiharoa koin mispachas hi. When the koin's mitar, this mispachas is a reference to the nega, the taras, v'chibes bigadov, and he's going to wash his clothing, v'tahir, and it'll become tahor. What does that mean? Tahor mipriya uprima dimeikara. He's being tahor from the exposing of the hair and from the ripping of the clothing from the beginning. What's this drasha here? So if you look at Rashi around, I don't know, 15 narrow lines up, he says, v'tiara kohen mispachasi, b'mitzora shebalach lal tahara, mitzora who's becoming tahor, mitoch eskero, v'lo nechlek siv. The pasuk, the context apparently, is when he's talking about a mitzora huskar, muskar, not a mitzora muchla. The safe of the crowd, the end of the pasuk says, "Ksiv v'chibes begadav atar," and he washes his clothing. Midilo ksiv v'yitar, and he becomes tar. Vitar means, and he was already tar. V'yitar with the yud is the future; he will become. It says instead, it says vitar. He was always tar. It tells us that when it comes to a muchla, muska rather, his begadim were not yet tuma. He wasn't a full fledged tuma yet. That's what we're learning from here. Only mixas tuma, but not all tuma. So which tumah didn't he have? It must be that he did not have the dinim of priya uprima. So the Gemara is challenging the idea now. Amar le, Rava says, El miyatev, that's the case. Gave zav, when it comes to zav, dichsev, the pasuk says, v'chibes begadav v'taher. He washed his clothing and he's tahor. V'tar means now, and he was tahor always. How could that be? Hasamai v'tar meikara ika. A zav, what kind type of tumah? We're talking about a zav who's the most tame possible. There's nothing tahor about him in the first place. So vitar doesn't mean he was tar in the beginning. It can't be that way because it doesn't make sense in the context of Zav. There's no tahor to speak of in the past. He was completely tameh. Ella, it must be Tar Hashta, Milatamei Kli Charetz Behesi. So it's telling, no, Tahar means that he's Tahar right now. He becomes Tahar. He's Tahar right now. He's Tahar with regards to, he's no longer going to be Metamei Kli Charetz, an earthenware utensil, Behesi, by causing it to move. Afagav, the Gemara says, Dehadar Chazei Lo Metamei L'mafreya. So what's going on here exactly? So where's the Rashi here? I see Rashi says, you see Ella? Is that what I want? 1 second here. Yeah. So Rashi says, let's say a person goes to the mikvah bayom. So he was a Zav, he goes to the mikvah bayom, he's now completely Tahar. And one of the lachas of a Zav is, if he causes a klicharis to move, hesed means to move, he's metame that klicharis. Let's say that very day, he becomes tame, he sees Ziva again. So now he's back to a Zav. So maybe one should suggest his tefillah wasn't a good tefillah. The fact that he sees Zav right now tells us that he really never was cured of the Ziva. And when he went to the mikvah before, he was too quick. So maybe he should be tame l'mafreya already the entire day. And when he touched that klicharis should really be tame. So again, let's say 8 o'clock in the morning, he counted his shimnakim, it was all done, and he went to the mikvah, so he thought he was tahor. He then touched something, and that thing was fine, because he was tahor. Later that day, say 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., he sees Ziva. So now he's a Zav. So one might think, maybe l'mafreya, that entire day, the mikvah shouldn't have never counted, and when he touched that klicharis, he in fact actually was tame, and the klicharis is tame. So it comes to teach us that he's completely tahor now, even though maybe later that day he's going to be tame again, we don't care. Right now he's tahor. Anything he touches now is tahor, and there's no way of changing that retroactively. That's what we learn from the word vitahor. And it doesn't mean that he was always tahor from the beginning. So Gemara says, so hachanami here too also. So why does the pasuk say vitahor coming back to the pasuk of mitzor now? Vitahor means, and right now he's tahor also. Which means, Gemara says, Hachanami Tar, Hashin, now he's Tar, Milatame Bibia Limafreya. So let's say the guy's a Mitzora. And in the morning he's completely cleansed of his Mitzora. And he walks into the Bia, he enters into a house. So if he's a Mitzora, the house becomes Tame, and things he touches becomes Tame. But now he's Tar. So he enters into the house. And then later that day, let's say, he sees that Nega comes back to him. So you might think, the fact that we declared him Tar in the morning doesn't work anymore. Maybe I'm afraid that the entire day is going to be Tame. And even though when he walked into the house, we thought he was Tar, not true, he was Tame. That's what you would have thought. Says the pasuk, Vitahir means he's completely Tahar right now. If you find the Taras later on in that day, we don't care. That's not going to affect Limafreya, what had happened earlier. Either way, we go back to square one. We have no raya yet of a Mitzora. Muskar is not chayv in priya in priyama. He's not chayv to expose his hair. He's not chayv to tear his begadim. Because again, the initial rai was the fact that it said by muskar vitahir, that implies he was tar in the beginning. And we just reject that. Vitar does not mean that he was tar in the beginning. Vitar means he's now tar. He's completely tar no matter what happens later on during that day. So what's the rai that a mitzora muskar is not chayv in priya or prima? So ela amarava mehacha. From the following pasuk, the pasuk says, "Vatzarua asher bo hanega." The tarua, the individual who is carrying, who has that nega. So, what does it mean? "Hatzarua asher bo hanega." I know a guy who has a nega. Of course, he's a tarua. A doctor who practices medicine. If he practices medicine, I know he's a doctor. Why have to say both things? So, why are we saying that tarua who happens to have a nega? It's very repetitive. So, the Gemara is medayik. Mi shetzarasa tuluya begufo. Who is the guy, again, the continuation of the pasuk is very important. I'm going to read the whole pasuk on the side before I read the drasha. The pasuk says, HaTarua Shibba Nega, the Tarua, who has this this taras on him, Begadav Yufrumim, his begadim should be torn, Viroshi Paru, and his hair should be exposed. So who's the guy who has these halachas of Fria Oprima? So the Gemara darshins, mi shetzarasa tuluya begufo, the guy whose taras depends on him as a person. Yotzezesh ein tarasa tuluya begufo. Meaning, a guy who's a mitzor muchlat, who's been decided to be taras, the only way of him becoming tahor is if his body changes. His taras goes away. It's taller in him. That's the type of guy who requires halachas of fria uprima, because the pasuk emphasizes hatarua sheba nega, the tzura, the gaver who has the neg on him, he's the guy who has priya prima, the guy who's all dependent on his guf, on his body changing. As opposed to mitzora muskar, it doesn't depend on him anymore. It depends on time, zman. A week later, and the coin shows up and nothing changes, the coin says it looks the same it did a week ago, we declare it to be tower. It's dependent on zman, not depending on guf anymore. That individual is not chayiv in priya uprima. That's the drush of the Gemara. So again, let's read that one more time. Rava, Amar Rava, Rava Mehacha, Hatzarua Shebo Nega, Misha Tzarasa Tuliya Begufo, the guy who's Tzarasa is dependent on his body, Yatzezeh, to exclude the guy who's a Musker only, Shein Tzarasa Tuliya Begufo, El Biyamim, it depends on a week later, on days passing, to see what the decision of the Kohen is going to be. The Gemara says, if that's really the Diyak, Amar Le Abai, Abai challenges Rava and says, El Miata, if that's the case, Kol Yimashia Nega Bo Yitama, as long as the nega is bow on him, yitama, he should become tamei. So only in this context, the pasuk is referring to shiluch machanos. The guy who's a mitzora has to be sent outside the city. So it says, asher nega bow, that the nega is bow on the body, on the gavra. So is this to say, only misha tzarasa tzuliya begufo, who talon the shliach. Only the guy who's a gavra, who's guf, is it talion, meaning a mitzora b'muchlat, it's totally on his body changing the tzaras, only he requires shiluach. But v'she'in tzaras atuliyah begufo, a guy whose tzaras is not dependent on his body, who is depending on the yamim, waiting for the kohen to come back, ain't talon shiluach. He doesn't require shiluach, he doesn't require being sent out. That can't be true. V'chitei ma'achanami, if you're going to say yes, it is true. Maybe only a mukhlat requires shiluach, but a muska doesn't require shiluach. Can't be. Because Hakatani, we learned that Ein Bein Mitzora Muskar L'Mitzora Mukhla, the only difference is Ela Priya Prima, cutting the clothing and exposing the hair. But the idea of Halin and Shiluach U'Letmuya Bebiya Zev is Eshavan, with respect to sending outside the city and Tumah of entering to the house, they're both equal. So you can't make such a diak of the fact that the pasuk says Asher Nega Bo, that the Nega is on the body, on the guf, that tells us it's only referring to Mitzoras Mukhla as opposed to Muskar. That's not a correct diak. So that's rejected as well. So again, back to square one. What's the raya that mukhlat has a halachas of priya prima and muska does not? So amr lei, so I guess it seems like Abai is responding back. Yimei, kol yimei, the rabos mitzora. The pasuk says, yimei, what's kol yimei, the extra word kol, the rabos muskar, mitzora muskar l'shiluach. So we're saying really no. Really the diak is correct. When the pasuk says, asher nega bo, the nega that's telling the body, the gavra, that is a distinction between a mitzora mukhlat versus a mitzora muskar. It says the same thing by shiluach, that only mitzora mukhlat do shiluach and not muskar. Gemara says, you're right, it's a very good diak. But there happens to be an extra word, it says, kol yimei, that includes the mitzora muskar, that he too also gets shiluach. Gemara says, yachi, that's the case, taglachas vitzfar my time alone. So then maybe we should also include a muskar that when he becomes tahor, he should have to shave his hair, he should have to bring birds as well. So my time alone, dikatani, because it says, ein bein tahor mitocha esker, la tahor mitocha hechle, la taglachas vitzipar. So this is clearly a difference. Maybe the drasha kol shouldn't be the correct drasha. I'll look at Rashi here for a second. What's the shaila here? What are we suggesting here? Okay, if we're saying the word kol comes to include a muskar that is chayv in shiluach, so why are we saying that he doesn't have the halachas of the shaving the hair and the bringing the birds? It should be the same exact halachas. I want for including muskar in the words of mukhla. So therefore, the Gemara finally concludes. Amar Abai, Abai says, Amar Kron, the pasuk says, v'yotza kohen al mechutz l'machane, v'hi nirpa nega tzaras. So the kohen goes out to check on the Torah outside the camp. He sees to see if the nega goes away, and then he becomes tahor. So mi shetzarasa tuliya berufuos, yotza zeh, shein tzarasa tuliya berufuos el biyamin. The reason why we don't apply, this is going on which context here? Let's see. The shiluach machana, this is referring to the refuah, the tara process. The reason why we can't include the halachas of tara, we're saying a very good point. The word kol really does come to include muskar in the world of mukhlat as well, But we have a special gzeiras hakasav which excludes Muska from having to bring the tziporim and having to do shaving the hair. Because in the context of talking about which karbanos the mitzvah brings, it says only a guy who the kohen goes out to check on his whether he's healed or not. Only that type of guy requires the tziporim and the taglachas, as opposed to the Mitzorah, Muskar, it doesn't depend on refuah, rather it depends on Yamim, days passing by. Okay, we can put that behind us now. Good, beautiful. Now let's get this thing a little bit lighter, with just a few more lines to get to the end of the daf here, back into some easier territory. This is probably the hardest daf of Maseches and Megillah, by the way. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. Okay, so don't be. I expect you guys to chazer, of course, but it wasn't easy. Fine, the Mishnah tells us, Ein bein svarim letfilin mezuzos. The only difference between svarim, what's svarim, guys? Let's get you guys back into this. What's svarim?
Torah.
Tanakh. Right, Rashi says, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. What's the only difference between Tanakh and tefillin and mezuzos? Elisha svarim, when it comes to Tanakh, nichtavin b'chol lashon, it can be written in any language. V'tefillin mezuzos, ein on nichtavos ela ashurus. You could only write Tefillin Mezuzos in Ashurus in Lashon HaKodesh. You can't write it in any other language. Comes along Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Af bisvarim lo hitiru shichtu el Yavanis. Nope. The Rashbag argues in Tanakhama, although the Tanakhama allows one to write the Tanakh in any language, Rashbag says only in Lashon HaKodesh or in Yavanis. Those are the only two he permits Svarim, Tanakh, being written in. So the Gemara explains, Ha, must be litofrin begidim ulatame sedaim zevezeshavim. With regards to having to sew together different parchments, you have to use gidim. Rashi explains litofrin begidim. This is five lines up from the bottom. Kol sifrem asun begilion v'lach mosh mesinahi betfilin mezuzos sheyitfurin begidim. They have to use the gidim, the different the sinews, I guess, of the kosher animals. Ubesefer Torah. If it was used with some type of flax as opposed to animal, hasha ashmin and masitzin command the pasul. So what's going on here? Everybody agrees that there's halacha mosh mesinai, that tefillin mezuzos have to use the gidim of the animals to sew the different parts together. If you look at the bottom of the box, of the tefillin box, the bias, there are these little stitches. Those stitches are used with animal gidim. They twist them together and they make a little a string out of them. So that has to be done halacha mosh misinai. When it comes to Sefer Torah, when you sew together the parchment, that's a machlokas whether you have to use gidim as well of kosher animals. Everything has to be kosher animals that you use, or perhaps you could even use pishon, real string that we normally have. So what we're learning from this gemara here is that we're paskening that it's the same exact halacha, that just like tefillin and mezuzos require gidim, so to svarim tanach also require gidim. And the other halacha that they're all the same is that the mitame es yadayim as well. What does it mean mitame es yadayim? So if you remember, we saw, I think we discussed this, the person touches them, it's mitame es yadayim. I think it's referring to the gzer midrabanan. Is that correct? Yeah, let's double check that. Regarding the chuma, exactly. And once we're talking about, and we're talking about Megillah, there's a halacha, for a couple halachas. First of all, when it comes to mezuzahs, a person shouldn't touch a mezuzah with his bare hands. You're supposed to wash your hands before touching a mezuzah. That's number one. There's a machlokas brought down in post when it comes to Megillah to Esther as well. We saw that yesterday about Metamis Yadayim. So there's a halacha, because of this din of Metamis Yadayim, you're supposed to wash your hands. That's why we don't touch a Sefer Torah. So there's a machlokas poskim about touching a Megillas Esther. So it's ideal. It's brought down in the poskim. One should really wash their hands before touching the cloth of Megillas Esther. Even though you're not reading it as the Baal Kori, you're using your own personal one, or even just looking at home, you're supposed to touch your hands, wash your hands rather, before touching Megillas Esther. Okay, I think we'll stop here. I think it was a bit of an overload. And we'll pick up Mir Shashem.